This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
My name is Travis Laughlin. I'm the interim executive director at Elsewhere here in Greensboro, North Carolina.
And Elsewhere is unlike anywhere else.
Elsewhere is not like anywhere else. Yeah. Elsewhere is a very unique museum and artist residency program in and of itself. I've heard people draw some correlations here and there to some museum in Europe, but there's nothing else like it at all.
Can you give us a simple word picture what you find here?
So Elsewhere, when you walk in, you're going to see the amassed ephemera and collection of one woman, Sylvia Gray, who ran a series of businesses out of this three-story building for approximately 60 years. And so it's a little overwhelming, but also what you see amongst that ephemera are artworks that are created by artists from across the globe who come and live in residence here at Elsewhere. And they utilize the collection and reimagine it and repurpose it and make new and unique artworks.
Well, let's just do a random sampler. I mean, I see enough toys, plastic toys, that could fill a toy store alone.
At least one.
Yeah, and then on the tiers below, bolts and bolts of fabric, which is an incredible story in itself.
Absolutely, yeah. So we have the largest collection of vintage textile fabric in the Southeast. Probably
in
the United
America,
States and
yeah.
probably the world.
Yeah. And the reason why?
The reason why is like Sylvia, who ran this store, found a myriad of ways to keep herself afloat, to pay for herself, her family's life. And North Carolina was an incredibly huge producer of textiles and fabrics, particularly here in this region near Greensboro. And she would go to the local mills and purchase the last bits of rolls or the remnants of the fabric and bring it here for sale.
And so some of these bolts date from how long ago?
She began buying thrift shortly after her husband died in 1955. So most likely the majority of the fabrics date from the 50s.
And they're retained, they're good condition.
They're retained, they're in good
condition.
Factory new or mill new, as it were. And but they are available for our artists to utilize and activate. So they are precious to us. They are precious as an historical item, but they're also incredibly precious and important for the artists to be able to activate.
And talk to us for a moment about your artist residency and where they come from, how you curate them.
So artists come from across the globe, literally. And every year we have approximately 40 artists who come and live on the second floor of this building, which was the second floor was once a boarding house. So the spaces still very much look like boarding rooms. It's not private living. It's 2 to 3 people per room, one shared bathroom on the end of the hallway. And I mean, we've had artists from as far as China and as close as Reidsville.
How does the outreach work?
So we utilize a lot of social media, et cetera, but we also very much activate the alumni community, artists that have been in residence here. So we ask them to be ambassadors for us. They tell people about Elsewhere. They apply. We have curators that have come through and given talks here at Elsewhere and are stayed here. And so we activate that network very much so. And then but the application is open and free. So we think it's incredibly important that artists from any demographic sort of slice of life or have access to this. So we've had artists here that have incredible international recognition, and we've had the artist down the street who hasn't maybe received that recognition yet. But the application is open, free. And
so your artists in residence who are accepted, do they pay or do they... Are they paid?
So some artists do pay to be here for, in residence, which is not very untraditional in a lot of artist residency programs. We do subsidize that. So, you know, the cost of what it is to host an artist is not what an artist actually pays to be here. We do have a few different fellowship programs that are funded through different grant sources that do bring artists here, and they get a stipend and their travel and costs are covered. One of those is our Southern Constellations Fellowship, which highlights and elevates artists from the Southeast and are working in the Southeast because we recognize that artists from the Southeast are very underrecognized. And as a artist residency program located centrally in the Southeast, we feel it's incredibly important that we elevate those folks. And so,
and the shows, they craft, mm-hmm. they're shown here only?
No, they are shown primarily here. Our website does document and highlight every single piece that has been created here by every single artist that has been here in residence. But there are times that we do have traveling exhibitions. We partner with different institutions, and the work can leave the space temporarily for those shows. But it does need to come back. Nothing's for sale here. Nothing comes in and nothing leaves except humans. We let y'all leave.
Are the universities in the area, do they ever do a show of your artist work?
Yes, absolutely. Just this year, we had a show at North Carolina A&T University in their gallery for our Southern Constellation Fellows.
Since everything is so random here, it's hard to do a thematic showing, right?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that one of the things that's beautiful about this idea of, you know, random ephemera is actually the unique through lines that actually carry the work forward, and especially the idea of memory. I think that elsewhere really, really evokes and has and holds this concept of memory. If you walk in,
just the toys alone,
people walk in and suddenly, I haven't had this since 1975, and I got it for Christmas, And then there's Ron Theron's piece, which is behind us, which is the structure of a rosebud, and it's the memory of her. It's built in memory of his grandmother, because when he walked into elsewhere, seeing the vintage fabrics and smelling the smells of this, almost 100-year-old building, and mingled with our communal kitchen, where artists had been cooking, he was immediately transported back to his grandmother's house, and she had recently passed away. And so if there's one through line, that is it. Mm-hmm. I would challenge anyone to walk into elsewhere and not have a memory.
Okay, let's go take a quick walk.
Okay, let's take a quick walk. So we're walking through. To the right, I think it's important to point out our kitchen, which is designed by an artist, and that artist, came in and felt like this, because this is such a communal space, that it really needed a flow.
So and this is where the residents
This is where the
cooking.
Residents do the cooking. This is where we, as staff, do cooking during the week. So we cook together, we eat together every week, and there's a whole system for who's cooking what and when. But even the kitchen itself is an art piece. And so there's everything here is part of elsewhere, is part of the art collection, and it is always constantly changing.
Can you unstack all that china up there?
So that's actually an art installation.
Is it glued together?
It is not glued together. It can come down on very special occasions. Mm-hmm.
It
is just stacked up there. Okay. So, luckily there's not a lot of earthquakes in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So we're very,
so
very
far,
fortunate
okay.
for that so far, knock on wood. Mm-hmm. This is our collab space or collaboration space, and this is where a lot of performances happen. This mm-hmm. is when our artists come and they do their talks for the public that's here. And again, more fabric. More fabric, more fabric. One of the most popular installations here at Elsewhere is Super Bouncy Ball Piano. So this is one of the first installations ever made at Elsewhere. And it is a lot of random mm-hmm. and broken musical instruments. And when folks come in, they are encouraged to grab Super Bouncy Balls and to throw it into the Super Bouncy Ball sort of tunnel mm-hmm. and create music. Watch out.
Yeah,
it might get your eye.
I was going to say, have you ever hurt yourself?
I've not hurt myself. I almost hurt you. But they're small balls. And, generally people aren't throwing too hard. So it's, it's good to have a little danger, I think, to keep things on edge.
Exactly.
So this piece is one of these pieces that kind of remains, it doesn't mean that it'll be here forever.
But so
someone
far.
Can come in and have a great, fantastic idea, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that, that we're going to change it immediately. The artists have conversations with the program team here at Elsewhere.
But it could evolve.
But it could, it will evolve. I'm sure it has evolved. It may not have even had all these pieces initially. So the other thing that I think is really important that here in this front space, which, has a lot of books and a lot of different work, I think that Elsewhere is very much known in this community and in the art world as a safe space for artists of all types, and in particularly queer artists and artists of color. So we really work very hard to bring that work to the forefront, make sure that everyone knows that Elsewhere is a space where not only are we collaborating, not only are we growing, but we're also pushing and challenging societal boundaries and making sure that whenever you walk in through this door, you know that you're safe. And
everybody is welcome.
Everyone is welcome. And you know, the way that we work and the way that we are in conversation with one another, with our artists, with our community, with our visitors, we make that quite evident. And so in this space right now, there is a lot of queer art present. And it's really pushed forward, and we really don't shy from that. And I think sometimes people think, particularly if you're in the South, or, you know, like, oh, my goodness, you know. But we're really not afraid.
There's no limits.
No boundaries, no limits. And this space, you know, was, I mean, Sylvia Gray died in 1997, and the place was abandoned until 2003 when co-founders George Shear and Stephanie Sherman decided to come in and reactivate it. And a place abandoned for that long, a place that is this big, you know, it was a little bit of a, you know, it was a mess. I'm not going to lie, you know, no heat, no air conditioning, spotty plumbing, you know, no way to wash dishes.
A lot of work,
but again, a sort of a space that is new and a space that is outside of what we might consider a traditional space. And then how do you go into that space, keep those values, those ideas, and work to move it forward. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the ideas and values that keep moving the space forward. And that is how this space is known. I mean, we still have people that walk in and go, oh my gosh, air conditioning? I don't even understand. Wait, it's not raining in here anymore? We're like, no, not anymore.
That's pretty
know?
Cool.
But
Do you do event community events in here?
Community events in here, yeah. So we work.
Give me an example of what you might do.
So one example is when the Black Lives Matter movement first began. It's my understanding I was not here, so I want to be clear. You know, so if I get all the facts wrong, please forgive me. But it's my understanding that the Black Lives Matter group was really struggling to find a safe place to meet here in Greensboro, and so Elsewhere made a connection with the leaders of the Black Lives Matter group and said very point blank, the space is open to you. If you want to come in, if you need a safe space to organize, to sit, to talk, to discuss, Elsewhere is here for you.
And how does somebody learn more about Elsewhere and get a visual look? Do you have a website?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, believe it or not. you know, we do have a website, goelsewhere.org. So you can go and see what the space looks like. As I mentioned before, we have every artist that's been here. Their work that they created while here is documented on our website. Get a sense of the community events that we've had. It's a lot of information. I have to say that our website is almost as overwhelming, if not more so, than this physical space, which is maybe hard to believe as you stand here amongst all these
TMI
things.
In two different forms.
Exactly, but I think that it's
part of the magic.
It's part of the magic because, like, I'm not quite sure how to encapture this all. And I heard about Elsewhere for many, many years. I've worked in the art field for many years and read about it, looked at it online, and I could not wrap my brain around it until I physically walked into the space.
Could be what it looks like inside of your brain.
It's not this organized inside of my brain. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that right now. My name is Travis Laughlin. I'm the interim executive director. They can also call here and just ask for me. Happy to talk.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for coming.
My pleasure. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.
Asking themselves the same question.